Welcome to Bevington Banter, the show where we can sound like we're arguing even when we all agree. I'm Cassidy, and together with my brother Cade and dad Randy, each week we discuss a selection of news stories, topics surrounding the culture, and matters of freedom and faith. Thanks for listening. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Share it, and if you like what you hear, rate it 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. Well, we're still here.
Yeah, it's been a while. And to be honest,
the theme song from Welcome Back Cotter playing in my head when we were starting.
We had a couple extra weeks off than we anticipated.
The only reason why I don't immediately launch into sports right now is just because we've been gone for so long.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That there's a lot of other stuff going on. I feel like
there's a lot of sports stuff going on.
I feel like a ton. I want to talk about it, but I know that maybe not everybody wants us to talk about that. Rush used to call them the stick to the issues crowd?
Yeah.
He would get talking about like the newest iPhone, and then people would get mad.
I can't say I was a fan of that either. We might need to do just a special little short podcast of the Santa letter. Haven't we done that in years past?
In the past, usually we publish it around Christmas, though.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
We did. It's a little late now.
You need to let us know if that's something that you want to hear.
Good. Santa killed it this year.
Yeah, it was good, but that let us know. Reach out to us on our email if you want to hear the Santa letter.
BevingtonBanter@protonmail.com.
The real politically incorrect Santa.
Well, you mean the one true Santa?
Yeah, he's politically incorrect. Yeah.
Just because everyone doesn't know that he's politically incorrect. There isn't, like, more than one. There's not a politically incorrect. He just is. And by the way, I think...
So in other words, he's right.
Realist Santa. That's what I call him.
So, what's the big news?
Everything. I'm talking about Ray Epps.
Oh, that's a non... All that is saying we're going to act like we did something so that you get everybody off of our back.
No, it's not.
Because we didn't do anything.
Because they didn't do anything.
Right, they didn't do anything.
Okay, Ray Epps... If you remember, January 6th, he was this guy that afterward he was shot. There's a bunch of video of him saying, we got to go into the Capitol. We got to go in. And then he like disappeared and we didn't really hear about him. So people were theorizing that he was an agent, a federal agent. And then all these other people were getting arrested and tried and stuff. And finally, they tried him. And he was sentenced to 1 year of probation, $500 in restitution, and 100 hours of community service for his involvement.
Right after,
on video.
Right after, in a speech, Biden got done boasting about how the total number of years that people had been sentenced was like 840 years. Right after that, they're like, Ray Epps, probation.
This guy that seems to be
he tore down
the main
fences.
Instigators. Okay. Yes. Meanwhile... The Proud Boys leader, who wasn't even there, got 22 years.
It took 3 years for the guy that was on video as the most obvious, by far, instigator of people rioting and going into the Capitol. Not even close.
Oh, yeah, there's videos of him before saying, we have to go in.
Right.
And everyone around is starting to go, Fed.
One guy goes, shut up, boomer.
Yeah, because they knew.
And he's like, I shouldn't say this. I'll probably get arrested. And then somebody goes, well, don't say it. He goes, well, I'll say it anyways. I mean, he was a total instigator. So it took him 3 years to finally even act like this guy existed. And then they give him this joke of a conviction, a sentence, to make people say, so they can now say, oh, well, we dealt with Ray Epps.
That's not true because everybody is saying, okay, if I was skeptical that he was a federal agent before, now I am
positive.
Sure.
Yeah, I heard Michael Knowles say that.
The biggest thing is not the discrepancy in... The discrepancy in sentences is obviously a big deal, but the sentences are based off the charges. And really, it's the charges that were big-time difference because Epps was only charged with things that could get him, you know, minor sentences compared to what everyone else, like all the Proud Boys that were sentenced to a decade or more were charged with sedition. And Ray Epps, who was at, I just found this out today. Ray Epps was the common denominator at 3 breach points.
Yes.
Of the Capitol. Not just the one. He was at multiple. He basically started the move on the Capitol in 3 different locations. So once he got the crowd moving in one spot, he moved to a different spot and started them in on the Capitol. And then went to a third spot and started that group in toward the Capitol.
Yeah, there's a good interview that Tucker Carlson did with Clay Higgins, who's a congressman from Louisiana. And you should really, I think it's like episode 61 or some 60 or 61. You really should check it out. You can find it on Twitter under Tucker Carlson. But he's, the biggest thing to me about this, the Ray Epps thing, is we still have nobody admitting that he is a Fed plant. I mean, I don't care about the sentencing. I mean, because the real truth of the story is he's a Fed plant and he was there as an instigator. And there were at least, according to Ray Higgins, he says, he's conservatively saying he put the number at 200. And yet you can't get anybody to even admit that there was one Fed in the crowd instigating it. That's the story.
My thing, so if Ray Epps, we have to speak in hypotheticals, is a federal agent, whatever. What was their plan? Because he's so obviously on video and recorded doing these things. And then they were like, hey, we're going to use him so we can get all these other people and then just like let him go. How did they think that that was going to go?
Let's remember this.
How'd they think that was going to work?
I'll tell you how. Because at the time it happened, they still controlled Twitter. If it were not for Twitter, we wouldn't know 85% of what we know. So they had it under control. They control information. And for people that aren't on Twitter and still watch mainstream media as their normal news source and read newspapers, they don't know 95% of what we know. Ray Higgins also said, and I hadn't heard this before, he made the point that, and he's a former law enforcement, former military, now in Congress. He's been a dog on investigating this. He made the point that they have evidence that these federal agents that were instigating this were in contact with people that they knew that were going to go to Washington, D.C. for this event, stirring them up and leading them on, I mean, several months in advance, telling them what kind of clothes to wear, what stuff to bring. So I had never heard that before. It wasn't just about being in the crowd. It was like prepping people to come, and prepping them in advance. So that was new. I hadn't heard that. He also made the great point about how the feds were there and they led people to certain areas of the Capitol. Remember this, Cade?
I had never thought about that part. That had never dawned on me.
They would have, he goes, I couldn't just walk in a random door and find my way to Nancy Pelosi's office. He goes, it's a labyrinth. It's a maze. He goes, there's no way that people did that. They had to be led by people who knew and intended to put them in places that would look highly compromising. He goes, it just can't happen.
Yeah, I had not thought about that. That was a very good point. That how did they know to just walk in there? And go, and plus he said they have on tape of FBI agents or whoever it was walking into a room in the Capitol and then coming out dressed in Trump supporter stuff.
MAGA gear, yeah.
Yeah. So they walked into a room dressed in their suits, presumably, and then walked out dressed to go out into the crowd. So most people on the right now are referring to January 6th as Entrapment Day. And that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Happy Entrapment Day. So, we could move on to Lloyd Austin. Does anyone want to hear about that?
Secretary of Defense. Lloyd Austin went MIA. Essentially, for the military, for days. Nobody knew where he was. The White House didn't know where he was. after it was complications from what they said was an elective surgery, but he has prostate cancer, so I'm not really sure how elective it was, but he didn't inform anyone about this.
Yeah, I don't know,
complications. I don't know if he's fully recovered to this day.
No. He was in the ICU for like 4 days or something. That's when they didn't know where he was. And the assistant secretary or undersecretary, whatever she's called, she didn't even know. And she was the one that would have been in charge in this situation.
And
she was on vacation. Yeah, she was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I assume when they said elective surgery, it was gender transition, gender reassignment.
Well, he already had no balls.
I know.
Now he has no prostate.
And apparently, according to Nancy Mace, neither does Hunter Biden.
Neither does Hunter Biden. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Different. Another time. No,
that, later. It is a joke that they called it. Now, I understand that you can say, well, I elect not to have prostate surgery. Yeah. I will choose to go a radiation route or something. I mean, yeah. I could have chosen not to have a heart valve replacement and I'd be dead right now. I mean, I don't have to do it. But that's not exactly what we mean.
That's what
we say elective surgery. No, yeah. You're trying to obfuscate what was going on.
Yeah.
So.
Which then I like the questions that Peter Ducey, I think it was him.
Yeah.
I assume it was him because who else would have asked. Yeah. That said, if you're not being, you know, honest about Secretary Austin's health, how can we trust you to be honest about, how do we know you're not lying about Joe Biden's?
Right. Yeah. He was asking John Kirby. It's so embarrassing that he's a former Navy guy.
So the real question is what now they're launching. He was missing for, you know, 4 days, right? And they're launching this 30-day inquiry about it and what they're going to do. What, like any other military member that just went MIA for 4 days, let's just, you know.
It's called AWOL.
I think that you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Well, you get sent to the brig initially, and then you are going to go to captain's mast, or they'll determine whether or not they want to take you to, like, a court-martial.
Yeah, like court-martialed. So, well, I'm not holding out hope that they're going to court-martial him, but...
No, Kirby got up there and said about what an absolutely stellar, amazing, wonderful Secretary of Defense that he has been.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and put all of this AWOL stuff aside. He's terrible.
Yes.
He's been terrible.
Also know that he did this in the midst of, like, when we are kind of engaged in crisis in the Middle East.
Right. We have military actively involved in the Middle East shooting at people and at rockets and everything. You know,
We have the Navy shooting incoming rockets. Shooting down incoming rockets nonstop. And then we also have the Air Force or whoever it is, maybe it's Navy pilots there, that are launching airstrikes in Yemen.
Yemen, yeah.
Nonstop. In fact, I just saw a story today that apparently, and maybe, who knows, maybe this is because we can't get it done by ourselves because we're, because our leadership is incompetent, but the British are actually joining us in... They're launching an airstrike campaign alongside us starting tonight against the Houthis in Yemen.
That we're flying regular sorties on combat missions into Yemen, and there's like virtually no coverage of it in the media. What is going on?
Because that would probably put all organizations like that, such as Hamas, in a bad light, and they couldn't have that.
I heard people saying that, apparently Lloyd Austin had told Biden what was going to be going on. And, you know, everybody, of course, goes, well, you know, but then, of course, Biden wouldn't remember. But that's not the point. There are no phone calls made within the bureaucracy of government or military that are not logged. All communications are logged. There would be a record of it. Even if Joe Biden can't remember that Lloyd Austin called him, there would be a record of when he called, how long they talked, what they talked about. I mean, when I was an E-2 airman in the command post controller's room at the Air National Guard unit in Mansfield, Ohio, we logged every phone call that was outgoing and incoming. And it absolutely happens at the White House.
So You want to answer to why we're not talking about the airstrikes in Yemen? Literally 2 minutes ago, Mike Glover, who is a former Green Beret, he's getting very political lately. He tweeted, "We are on the cusp of a full-scale war with Iran. Proxy is proxy, but moving closer to a declaration of war. Be prepped." And that's in response to the stories that I saw about the U.S. Navy and the British Navy launching airstrikes on Yemen starting tonight. And maybe that's why they're not talking about it, because there'd be too much protest as far as, you know, going to full-scale war with Iran. Because that's what this leads to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that why they're not covering it?
Maybe. I mean, but on the one hand, I'd say, yes, you don't tell your enemy that you're going to attack them. On the other hand, for the last 20 years, that's pretty much what we've been doing. We tell them everything
also,
we're going to do.
Also, it's Yemen, which is a failed state.
Yeah, then you just have to, you have to assume, though, that, okay, Iran's not crazy enough to respond if we attack one of their proxies.
So if they're like actual military infrastructure where they're launching these things from are too permanent that no amount of warning is going to allow them to move them, then they may just want to be moving. It may have been to get the people to leave, to blow up, you know, their launch sites, to blow up their launch sites without blowing up any of them, which I don't care about. That's stupid. No, you should just blow them up too, because they're just going to find more stuff to shoot at you later. Yeah. If you blow up their launch site, they'll make another one. They're being funded by Iran. It's not just a bunch of, you know, sand people.
Yeah, they're not
running around out there finding this stuff. They're being given it by Iran.
Right.
So it doesn't matter blowing up launch sites. You have to shoot the people who are operating the launch sites. But we've warned them now, so.
New news in Trump world, which, this is so annoying because, again, Trump has done so many things in the last couple of days that I don't like, yet there's this story, right? So the DA in the Trump election case in Georgia, Fannie Willis.
Terrible name, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's a really bad name.
Well, I was listening to Megyn Kelly, and somebody, one of the lawyers she was talking to about it, said that, yeah, a friend of hers said
it's pronounced phony.
Phony or fawny or something.
Fannie Willis.
Phony is worse.
I know. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Why not fawny?
Well, I thought that was a joke. Anyway, one of the co-defendants in the case and his lawyer, they have accused Fannie Willis of being engaged in a personal romantic relationship with one of the prosecutors, which she brought in for the case, and is personally benefiting from his appointment to the case. And this prosecutor, he has never prosecuted a criminal case before. He was in private practice. This is, a felony case. So this is the first felony case he's been appointed to, is this one, by this woman who he was having an affair with, because now it's just come out also that this guy, his divorce proceedings are happening, and Fannie Willis has been subpoenaed to testify in his divorce case. And yeah, so I'm saying probably pretty likely that there was
an affair
happening
there. And he's been paid like $625,000.
Yes, and he charged a 24-hour period of work to the case that he was like researching. Yeah, and then they've been taking these trips to all these like, you know, island places in the tropics, and
he also apparently, well, maybe not him, but they had said that there'd been no communication with the White House on this case, but there are records. He billed two different visits that are labeled basically consultation with the White House. So the claim that there's been no coordination or communication concerning this case between Fannie Willis's office and the White House on this case against Trump is, I mean, he gives it up right there. You can't bill two different 8-hour meetings with, let's say, you know, meeting with the White House, and that's the case that you're on. Then
why am I drawing a total blank on the former Republican Speaker of the House who did that interview with Charlie Kirk? What's his name? Was it Reagan era? Name me Republican speakers of the House.
I only can think of John Boehner.
No.
I know. That's why I wasn't saying that.
Newt Gingrich.
Gingrich. It was Gingrich. Yeah. Okay. Gingrich was did an interview with Charlie Kirk a while back where he said that the White House reached out to Fannie Willis or her team or whoever, and he said he had very good sources on this, and they said you need to charge Trump tonight.
You have to indict him tonight.
You have to indict him tonight, and this is on whatever day this was, because this sweetheart deal that they were trying to give Hunter Biden was going to be done at the same time, and so they were trying to draw attention away from that, and that is apparently now people are starting to put together that this is the guy who that was done through. And apparently he met with the White House 2 times right before they decided to charge Trump. And that's why they said, like, that's why there was like an 11 p.m. press conference and the grand jury met super late, because the White House said to them, you need to charge Trump tonight.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that this went through, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, there are people saying that, you know, this could cause certainly Fannie Willis to be removed, but it also is going to, I mean, she could, the whole case could be thrown out because of it, and she could even, there are people who say that she could be disbarred if this is everything that it appears to be.
Good, she never should have been barred in the first place.
Who's the other? Letitia James. She also, there's records of her, of them meeting with the White House like on 3 different occasions. So she's another prosecutor. Which case is that? Is that in, that's the prosecutor in New York that's going after him for the.
Which one's Georgia? That's Fannie Willis?
That's Fannie Willis.
Yeah, that's Fannie Willis. Oh.
She's the one going after him on the property, isn't she?
In New York?
Yeah. Yeah, on right, the whole overvaluing your property and all that stuff.
Who's the guy that Alvin is there a Bragg? Third one?
Alvin
no,
Bragg.
Not Alvin Bragg. That one's done. That one's done with. There's another guy.
There is?
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Oh, it's the guy that brought the charges.
That's Jack Smith.
Yeah,
Jack Smith.
He's the one that brought the charges.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So that's the case that Letitia James is doing.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
So are there 3? or is there just 2?
No, I think he's tied to the Georgia one. I don't know. Google it. Huh. This is really good reporting. That's okay. That's
well, while we're on
we
government.
You said Hunter.
Yeah.
Cade, you brought up, this is unrelated, but you mentioned Hunter. So segue. So do you remember when Congress subpoenaed Hunter Biden and he went outside the Capitol and gave that speech to the press?
Right. He was subpoenaed, but he didn't go. He didn't honor the subpoena. He didn't show up.
He just showed up at the steps. Correct. So then the Congress decided, oh, we're going to talk about holding him in contempt of Congress for that. So they were having a hearing, and Hunter Biden showed up to his own contempt of Congress hearing. And insanity ensued.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, Hunter. Apparently, you're afraid of my words. I'd like to reclaim my time, Mr. Chairman. Wow, that's too bad.
So that was right. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is recognized to start speaking, and right then Hunter Biden, who had just walked in, taps his lawyer on the arm, and they get up and they just walk out. Okay, so,
and that was the milder part.
Yes, because
right, the worst part
in
was
the
Nancy
hallway.
Mace.
No, wow. No. The funniest
the
part
is better.
Was
yes,
out in the hallway, right in between when Hunter's lawyer is speaking. Some, I don't even know what this, where this journalist is from, but they sneaked in the perfect question. They should get a Pulitzer for this.
Could you please, I'll answer your question if you be quiet and let me make a statement, okay?
What kind of crack do you normally smoke, Mr. Biden?
Well, he then goes on to ask him how he prefers to do it. Does he prefer to shoot it or to smoke it?
I heard
it?
That later. But that one's not as, it's, he's trying to speak over people then. That one was perfect, though, right after the lawyer said, if you wait,
who's
I have something prepared.
For?
I don't even know who it was. All I know is...
Do you think he's even a reporter? Or somehow he's just like in that group? Like,
there's no way he got in a press gaggle without some kind of press credentials. It was the Capitol. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was Ray Epps.
Well, before...
Okay, but before Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke, you have a...
Yeah, you want Nancy Mace?
Yeah.
Brought Hunter Biden to be here today. That's my first question. Second question, you are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and...
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
That's funny.
So then they brought up, like, the guy who interrupted Nancy Mace said, if she wants to hear from Hunter Biden, like, why can't we hear from him now? Let's take a vote. And, like, that's not how this works. That can't happen anyway. But this is kind of when, then after that, Hunter Biden left.
Well, I want to point out one thing, though, that's really critical in understanding this. So he was subpoenaed to appear for a closed-door deposition. And there was a reason specifically why Congress wanted a closed door and he did not. Because when they have these public hearings, we've all seen them 100 times. Nothing gets done.
Because they go like
they
that.
They get 5 minutes and then they go to the, and then the, you know, 5 minutes for the Republican, 5 minutes for the Democrat, back and forth. And all the person does sit there and goes, well, I don't recall. I don't remember. That doesn't seem right to me. That's all that happens. So, when it's a closed door deposition, they don't have those kind of limits and they can do a real investigation.
Can they release transcripts after that?
That's why Hunter Biden didn't want, yeah, well, they can, but that's why Hunter Biden didn't want to be deposed behind closed doors. And he didn't show up.
And that's why he showed up in this. Yeah.
This was a public hearing.
Yeah.
Which is why he also did what, when he was supposed to be in the closed door deposition, he just stood out front of the Capitol and gave a speech because I like how they called it a press conference, even though he took not a single question.
So Mayor Eric Adams moved 2,000 migrants from a tent city into a New York City school due to an impending storm, and then forced all those students to go to online learning. It was only for a day, but still. And parents were like outraged, and they're like, I want the school. Like, I'm not sending my kid back in because I have, like, hygiene or, like, you know, sanitary issues. I'm like, all kinds of stuff.
I heard somebody make a good point that if you have, like, there are these moms out in front of the school having a fit. And, you know, there's a good chance, given the makeup of our country and how many people are really politically involved, that a reasonable number of those moms are not involved. They're not voters. Oh, no. They don't pay attention, but baby, they do now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is like what we saw a couple years ago in primaries and stuff, that you start messing with the kids.
Right. Like what happened in Virginia with Youngkin.
Yeah.
Mostly school board stuff, like school board elections.
Yeah,
even though there wasn't some, you know, red wave in 2022, right, there were a lot of local school boards that were absolutely red waves.
Yeah, really flipped. Speaking of which, did you see this? I think it's called Howard County, Maryland, where they are proposing to have only illegal immigrants vote for an illegal immigrant person to serve on the school board.
What?
Yes, look it up.
So, do illegal immigrants, in this case, that's the only thing they get to vote for?
Yes.
It's for the person that's going to represent them.
Or does it represent them on the school board?
What the heck?
But there's a lot of other places that are wanting, I mean, California's got places they want to, they're trying to have illegals vote. And the truth of the matter is, illegals have been voting for decades in California
already.
Absolutely. So, and people want to go, well, there's no great replacement. I mean, what do you call that? When you're bringing them here and it's for this purpose, and then you're doing something like that, that's pretty crazy. My concern, you know, in this, of course, Trump talks really big and strong on the illegal immigration and what he wants to do. And I don't doubt that he wants to. I just doubt Trump's skill, his ability to be able to pull off some of these things that need to happen in this country. I just don't think he's skilled enough.
Well, seeing as he was out there, was it yesterday, the 10th, that Nikki Haley and DeSantis had that debate thing? Okay, and then he did a town hall on Fox News, Trump did, and he was out there basically calling DeSantis was the Fauci lover and all this stuff, and it's so aggravating. It's so aggravating.
He's, well, Trump's the one that gave him a medal.
Yeah, how do you not call him out on that? He's trying to call, you know, him, he's locked down, put all the lockdowns on DeSantis, and he loved Fauci. When Fauci's, I'm pretty sure, the one that said, I mean, DeSantis is the one that said, I'm going to kick that, would kick that little elf out of there or something.
Yeah, it's things like that, too, like what Trump said also as a part of that, that it's, he's going to, we're going to have the biggest undertaking of mass export, you know, exporting of illegals that we've ever done. We have to do it, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't think he has the administrative governmental skills to be able to do it. I haven't seen that before. I mean, I heard Glenn Beck interviewing Chip Roy maybe 5-6 days ago. And and Chip Roy, who is a DeSantis supporter, was running down all the things that Trump could have done while he was in office, and he failed to do all these things, plus spending more money and letting people out of prison and siding with, you know, the trans issues in some cases, and all, on and on. And it was like absolutely legitimate list, and it was long and, I mean, it was long and depressing of the things that he did not do while he was in office that he could have and should have. So there, why would I think stuff, that he's going to...
There was some stuff that he didn't even just need to do. He just needed to not do it. And one of them was hiring Christopher Wray. I mean, that's not even like, you could have done this and you didn't. That was a what? You could have just done nothing. You could have done nothing at all, and it would have been better.
Because he...
I don't even, like... like talking about him anymore, but I feel like we have to, just for the sake of, if anyone that listens to this is still like a super, you know, hardcore Trumper, like, come on.
Don't get me wrong, I'm gonna vote for him probably.
When
we talked about it last time, we talked about it
not in the primary. Yeah, I'm trying to convince people for primaries.
My full circle. Reluctantly vote for Trump.
Right.
Gladly vote for Trump. Reluctantly vote for Trump. That's between 2016 and this election.
I'm probably going to
vote
for him in the general, but I'm not, I'm like obviously not a hardcore Trumper.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think he's going to be our choice in the general, but I'm,
yeah,
I won't vote. I will say, I will never have voted for Trump in a primary because I voted for Ted Cruz last time.
That's right. I did.
I voted for Ted Cruz in 2016, and then there was no primary. And then I will not vote for him again.
We didn't mention as a part of this presidential race that Chris Christie has dropped out.
Yeah, that's because it's not news. That's because it's useless.
But
to really
Hutchinson has not.
Aiden Hutchinson has not.
He's polling at 1%.
He is sticking with it.
That's dumb. Which,
where is he?
He was
because
he's stealing
most time
money.
People. Yeah, people pull out when they don't have money.
He's stealing money.
How does he have money?
Well, he's not doing anything. Just because he's in the race doesn't mean he's spending any money.
I'm reading something that's going on right now with Eagle Pass. Apparently the state of Texas is has done a takeover of Shelby Park that's apparently... inside, because they're setting up the National Guard there. It looks like they're staging the National Guard inside of Eagle Pass. So that's good, I guess.
I think so. Yeah.
They notified the mayor. They basically, it says the decision was made as part of Governor Abbott's emergency declaration. The city of Eagle Pass played no role in the decision of the takeover of Shelby Park by the state of Texas. Currently, our city attorney is looking further into this matter. The city of Eagle Pass will provide updates. Yeah, why would they challenge this?
The city's going to oppose it.
Well, yeah. this is letterhead from... this is a statement from the city of Eagle Pass.
Yeah, they probably just want to know more.
Huh.
And what it means. Like, the attorney could just be looking into, you know, what does this mean for our people? I'm going to hope that, optimistically, that that's what they want to know.
I'm sure Dad wants to get into the whole immigration thing in the video of that Iranian guy and all that kind of stuff, because this is crazy. This is not even, I'm tired of hearing about this being like, well, economic crisis, right, and hearing the cities complaining about this stuff. This is a Homeland Security issue.
65% of Americans now no longer call this a crisis. They are calling it an invasion.
That's a huge change.
Yes. I wanted to point out that today, released on The Blaze, is the whole big story on the Colony Ridge, which is this big, massive community being built about, what was it, like 50, 70 miles outside of Houston. It's going to be one of the largest cities in southern Texas before long. And it's a community being built for all these illegals coming in, from my understanding. Do you guys remember this? Colony Ridge? We've mentioned it a time or two before.
Yeah.
But what you're saying, on Pat Gray Overtime, they played a video, which I don't know what the origin of it was. They were interviewing a guy that came in from Iran across the border illegally. And he was very honest in telling us, it's like, you people got a problem, man. This is, you don't know what you're in for. And like the majority of the nationality, the nationality that's most coming in right now is Chinese. It's just on and on and on. I mean, I don't remember all the detail of what that guy was saying. You just brought it up, Cade.
What?
What all that guy was saying that they interviewed at the border, the Iranian guy that said he flew from Iran to Turkey.
Yeah, I do
from
know.
Turkey to, from Turkey to Mexico,
here.
And then he
but
just
I've
walked
also
across
heard
the
that
border.
All the Chinese people that are coming into the country are coming through Ecuador, because Ecuador is apparently really easy to get into. And then they're taking the route from Ecuador up to here, which the fact that there is a consistent route from Ecuador up to here is a bit concerning, seeing what's going on in Ecuador right now.
I was going to say,
are the people who are coming here. The people who just, like, you know, started
a crime organization
prison
just trying to take over the
police.
Country.
Yeah, and they still are. They've said they're at war. The president of Ecuador, whoever, he's declared war against the narco terrorists who are like setting off car bombs and stuff all over the place. They blew up a police station today. They're not stopping. So it's pretty crazy. But
I wonder how long they can
keep
that up.
That are coming here.
I wonder how long they can keep that up, though, because
I
mean, the
there's
weapons
a lot of them.
The weapons that they had when they were took over the TV station was like a pump 12 gauge and a 38 revolver.
Those guys were throwaway. That's nothing compared to if they're a real serious cartel that's been labeled as narco terrorist.
Right.
They've got serious guys that have been
trained.
Well,
that's what I wondered about that. That's crazy.
Unfortunately, a lot of the cartels are very formidable because they have enough money to pay U.S. military, trained U.S. military members, like some serious guys, to basically sell their principles and go down into Mexico and down into South America and train their guys so that they have these cartels, they have elite groups of soldiers that have been trained by our special forces.
Okay. I'm going to make a statement here though. If your principles can be sold, then they're not principles.
Fine. You know that you know what I mean?
It means that they're willing to pay a high enough price for you to sell out.
Yes. So I think that they could do it for a while. I think that the first step was to just send in a bunch of idiots to make some noise, but they have some more serious people.
I don't know if you'll be able to see this documentary on Colony Ridge anywhere other than The Blaze eventually, but
I'm looking
forward to seeing it.
An Alaskan Airlines flight, it was last Friday, experienced explosive decompression after taking off from Portland, and they, luckily, nobody died. They dropped the masks, and they were able to turn around and land. But
it's not like there was any
stuff was getting ripped
like
out.
There was any
someone's shirt
forewarning or anything.
Yeah, no, someone's shirt got ripped off and like flew out. Stuff was flying out. You know, like some kid's teddy bear flew out. And so then, you know, investigations after the fact showed that the airline knew about the potential hazard, and they had categorized this flight, or this plane was not allowed to go to Hawaii. They're like, oh, we'll just keep it on the short hop so that we can land it if something goes wrong. And so then this has prompted other airlines to look at the Boeing 737 MAX 9s, and at least United said that an undisclosed number of their 737 MAX 9s also had these loose bolts. So that's terrifying.
They said that they found the they did find the door, and they also found
in someone's backyard.
Right. They also found an iPhone, and it still worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
From 16,000 feet.
It's the new titanium iPhone.
So,
must be.
Here's the thing. You need to go wherever you, without going, if you can do it for free, you can find him on, find Matt Walsh's podcast on YouTube or somewhere like that. Yesterday, his January 10th podcast, and listen to him talk about all of what's going on in commercial aviation. You will not get on another commercial flight.
It's ridiculous.
So the supplier of that door that blew out, they are under investigation and have things going on with them. So they had, he talked about, there were things like their torque wrenches are not calibrated properly. I mean, everything is very precise. Nothing goes, you know, there's nothing, no, just, well, it feels tight enough. I mean, a torque wrench measures the amount of torque that you're putting on, say, a nut onto a bolt. And it's all predetermined from engineers. It has to be torqued to this, not more, not less. Because if it's less, it could vibrate loose. If it's more, it could break it because of the stress, whatever. It has to be exact. And there's all, that was just one example of what this company that supplied these doors. So maybe, though, they're okay. Maybe Boeing's not installing them right. I mean, just, and then, of course, all the DEI stuff with hiring and the near crashes. One of the stories he mentioned about a guy that did crash an Amazon plane. I had read about him maybe 9 months or so ago, that story where the guy was had worked for a bunch of different air carriers. And he failed simulator after simulator, but you know, he was the right skin color and stuff, and he met the quotas, and they hired him. Well, he finally crashed an Amazon.
At least he wasn't flying people.
Cargo, yeah. But there was one out of Hawaii here recently that they almost did. They almost killed 280 people on takeoff when the captain told the first officer to set the flaps to 5%, and he set them to 15%. Which caused
English is hard for him, okay?
Which caused it to nose down, like you'd put in too much nose down trim. They came within 750 feet of impacting the water.
Oh my gosh.
Well, they even lost situational awareness in trying to figure out what was going on. Because it wasn't until the airplane itself started setting the alarm, you're about to crash, apply full power, that right. They did and got out of it and started to climb. So people don't understand. It's not about even technically being able to fly the airplane. It is stressful. It is stressful. Everything is fine when you're just cruising along, but when you have to operate under some kind of a stressful situation, and it's happening at, you know, 300, 500, 600 miles an hour. It's in crazy stressful. The guy that crashed the Amazon plane, the people in the simulators that, you know, said that he failed all the time, was he would just start randomly flipping switches. That was his way of dealing with it. There was no...
If something went wrong.
Yes, yes. So when they'd pull an emergency on him in the simulator to see how he'd react, I mean, he'd get to the point where he'd just start throwing switches.
Well,
without rhyme or reason.
I mean, we definitely are trending toward people just literally shutting down in stressful situations. That's how we're making life.
Well,
we don't just in the whole world.
Yeah. Right. We don't want anybody to have stress in their life, so nobody knows how to deal with it.
Hey, this is just another way for them to get rid of part of the population.
That's probably true. But man, I wouldn't want to be. I mean, United is one, maybe the big one that's doing DEI stuff. And the problem is you still have. I don't know. I guess they're playing this. You still have captains that are very experienced that are, you know, babysitting, and that's what people that are receiving messages from whistleblowers saying, like, the captains babysit these people, and I guess that they're hoping that the captain, you know, can handle it with a much lesser first officer.
Yes.
So they've got them hired, but eventually these captains are all aging out and retiring.
Yeah.
They have to let the captains be mean to the first officers. They have to let them bully them. That's the only way that they're going to get better. Number one, bully them to introduce stress. And number two, to mock them into taking it a bit more serious.
I don't know how you don't take flying a commercial airliner with several hundred people in it serious.
Because they don't take anything serious. It's a big video game to them.
I think the captain That's should just terrifying. Be able to say, I'm never flying with this person again.
Yeah.
Don't.
Right. Which should mean that you should fire them, but it would just mean they would put them with someone else.
Right.
Yeah. Another person.
Well, then
they move on to another
I
never
airplane,
fly with them.
Another
and then you
company
have two,
that's
yeah,
looking.
They all need to do that.
And then you have two of the dumb-dumbs together.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll just have no pilots then.
No, the good captains will be like,
which
I hate this guy, but if I say I'm not going to fly with him anymore, they're going to put him with someone else, and everyone will die.
And everyone's going to die.
So they probably keep flying with them out of concern for people. Like, they gotta be thinking, like, I hate this, but if I don't do this and they crash, I'll feel like it's my fault. Even though it's not. It's very clearly somebody else's fault.
Okay,
but man, that would be heavy. That would weigh on you.
Just start saying, like, fly, and then just start saying, look, people, you gotta stop flying commercial.
I
know it's my livelihood, but you gotta...
I guess. He'd say, listen, if you stop flying commercial, I'm ready to retire anyway.
Yeah. Okay, the real question in this whole story, though, is would you rather have been on this plane where the door blew out or the plane where the explosive diarrhea poop rolled all the way down the aisle?
I'd rather be on the one with the diarrhea.
I'd rather wear an oxygen mask on my face.
I think I'd rather wear an oxygen mask on my face.
Yeah, if I hindsight know... that it's going to be able to land and
everyone
stuff.
Everyone was fine.
If I hindsight know the two situations, give me door blown off.
But you don't know that.
I'm saying you would know that. I would
okay.
be on
if
door
I knew
blown
that,
off.
Can
then,
I
yes,
just point
I
out one,
re-
one thing, though, that I don't like about the whole high-altitude explosive depressurization, whether anybody gets sucked out or not? Do you know how cold it is at 16,000 feet?
It'd be cold, yeah.
With 400-mile-an-hour wind blowing on you?
They couldn't have been that high because it was like 12 minutes.
They absolutely can be. Their rate of climb is around 2,000, 3,000 feet per minute. They were at 16,000 feet when it blew out.
I did not read. I mean, it says like, you know, you can find stories where like what the people said. I didn't actually read them, but they probably said, I'm never getting on another plane in my life.
I think that there probably was some explosive diarrhea that took place when that blew out, too. So, in that case, you've got both going on.
Those people better get used to road trips.
I'm going to have to hang on to my own plane. Cause
there's got to be some...
I'm thinking I need to finish my pilot's license.
There's
got
to be some very, very wealthy... individual who could reach out to competent pilots and say, we need to start an airline company that has that is very, very transparent with their hiring process.
Right.
We're going to tell you exactly. We don't hire vaccinated pilots. We will never require you to do that. We're going to definitely start off with an older generation who only hires intelligent, younger, like, you know, just very transparent with hiring, vetting good pilots.
Well, You know, here's one.
Plane maintenance.
Yeah.
United, all that kind of stuff.
United is the first airline to take over their own pilot training. That was, you know, that was not done by the, I mean, they would send them, but that was not done by the airline itself.
That should be a third party thing.
So here's the thing. I think that United did that because they, because of their DEI policy that they were instituting, that they knew that they couldn't get these people through the other training. I mean, literally, I can come up with no other explanation. The people they're hiring to fly to meet their DEI quotas would not make it through the third-party training, so they had to start doing their own training. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, that makes total sense to me.
Do not fly United.
They're not the cheapest anyway. Not here.
I see the potential for a company called AirX in the future.
There, I saw today for the first time ever. I've never seen this on television before. A charter airline, a charter flights advertised to where you can, and it talked all about getting there as part of the experience and blah, blah, blah. You're talking about is like you're sign up for this charter airline to take your trips and travel, you know, your vacations. And you start off with a $20,000 credit. So you're talking about here flying on really nice corporate level airplanes. So if they're giving you a $20,000 credit towards your first flight, that means it's going to cost you some serious coin to use this. But I mean, I've never seen something like that advertised on television before. Because you don't advertise to the masses something that's that expensive. So it made me wonder, are
there's
people
a reason why
going
you don't
to start
see, like, McLaren commercials on TV?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But recently I've seen a Porsche commercial and I thought, I've never seen a Porsche commercial before.
Is it an electric?
It's just because they have an electric car now. Yeah.
So that just made me wonder about, are there people really looking, like you said, looking at not flying commercial but wanting other ways to fly, that this commercial this advertisement actually showed up on television?
Stop on down to your local, like, Bugatti dealer where we have all the best deals on Bugattis.
They do not have these problems in other countries, these airline problems.
Remember Malaysia? Like, ever heard of Malaysia?
Okay, Malaysia in Europe.
Okay.
In first world countries. When I last time I was on a plane and we like ended up sitting for an hour before we took off, this European guy was so mad. He's like, "This does not happen." And it's like, "This is inhumane that we sit, like, you'd sit on this plane and then we had to go back to the gate." Then they opened the door at least, but the lady just goes, "Well, this is America."
I wonder where he's from though, because there are plenty of places in the world where they don't have near the level of air travel that we do. They do not have the congestion.
That is a good point, because in Europe, they don't really, you can just take a train everywhere.
They also drive everywhere.
Yeah.
They also don't, the other DEI place that's taking place is the government is doing it in air traffic controllers.
That's why there's at least near misses.
Yeah. Well, there was a crash on the runway the other, like a week or so ago, on New Year's Day, maybe, or something. Yeah. It didn't end up being fatal to anybody, but there was a collision on the runway.
How do you have a crash on, like, a landing plane?
Yeah, there was a landing plane and one taxiing.
Oh.
So, that's pretty crazy.
Do you want to talk about sports?
There's so much. You could do a separate show about sports.
You guys must know a bunch of stuff that's going on in sports that I don't know
about.
All
the hiring and firing. Nick Saban is retiring. They fired Pete Carroll from Seattle.
They did?
Just because he's old.
Yes.
Belichick is gone.
Mike Vrabel got fired.
Yeah. And
which
a lot of the, like,
the Patriots want him. Everybody wants him.
Who's the Lewin guy that used to play? He was forced to retire from a medical injury. He was a very good lineman for Tennessee and just played actually last year. This is his first year of not playing. Taylor Lewin or something like that. He was on Rich Eisen's show as the news came out that Vrabel was fired. He was shocked.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised too, because they have never really gotten over the hump. But
they have no talent.
Right, but they look better towards the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
They put together some wins.
I think there was a disagreement because he went to a Patriots game in the season with Kraft in the box. Very well did.
He's
and
a
he
Patriot.
Was still calling the Patriots like his team. And but then after made comments that like, yeah, there was some stuff between him and the owner, I think, that they
if he knew
agree.
That Belichick was leaving, he doesn't right. care if
I
he gets fired from the Titans.
He's propped up for that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what okay. everybody is saying, except for some people are also saying, do you want to be the guy who goes into
no.
New England after
no.
Bill Belichick?
No.
It doesn't matter who you are.
The guy that follows
right.
the guy. Like,
yeah, that's
Joel
right.
Klatt was talking about who Alabama's probably calling right now. And I was actually thinking, if they called me, if I was one of those people from the tree, I would say, you know what? Call me after you fire the guy
the
that
next
you hired.
Guy, right.
yeah.
Because
yeah, and you, then I'll come.
Right.
And
the it's only that way with thing, big. It's that way in churches, too. You don't want to be the guy that follows the guy that was there for 20 or 25 years.
The only thing that would maybe make Vrabel viable right off the bat would be that he is kind of a Patriot legend. I mean,
right.
he's got how many Super Bowl rings
like
does Vrabel
three,
have?
Like three, I think.
Yeah. So
Patriots, yeah.
That would be the
they
only
gotta get
saving
a quarterback,
thing.
Though. Oh my gosh! You know what was hilarious was watching the national championship. They had a Pac-12 commercial, and I thought
that is weird.
What is the point of this?
yeah.
Well, they do have other sports.
no, but no. Well, for the rest of the year.
Yeah, for yeah. this year, that's it.
Just spring sports. But
Pac-12 baseball.
It, yeah.
I want to know. I don't begrudge Michigan winning the national championship. The only thing I would say about college football this year is the same thing I'd say about professional football. If Michigan won the national championship with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, it just proves what I've thought all year long.
Didn't
it's
you
been
hear
a very
Jim
mediocre
Harbaugh say
year.
That J.J. McCarthy is the greatest college quarterback of all time?
What? That makes me lose a lot of respect because I've always kind of liked Jim Harbaugh.
That was a crazy
but that's,
statement.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it was a mediocre year. There was no great team. But I don't begrudge Michigan winning. That's fine. But here's my thing. I this is an honest question. Why were they allowed to play for a national championship? I just don't understand that.
Why let
because
them win a national
the NCAA,
championship? To take
it took them. Yeah, it took them like 5 years or 6 years, whatever, to come with the Pete Carroll stuff.
But here's
take
the thing.
Forever.
No, but Jim Harbaugh's already been convicted of these things because he already served
the
suspensions.
By the Big Ten.
Yeah, not by the NCAA.
Not the NCAA.
Oh.
Which I don't even know if that's going to exist. Yeah, the Big Ten did it, not the NCAA.
Yeah.
So they're going to end up
be
negating these wins.
The Chargers or something,
well,
apparently. When this ruling comes down.
Speaking of gender trans reassignment, the NCAA
what?
Has been completely neutered. They're not a when it comes to college football,
no.
are they even anything anymore?
No.
No,
I mean,
I think they're going to get
the Big
dropped.
Ten and the SEC run college
well,
football.
Yes.
There's going to be a whole nother organization that's based just off of the Big Ten and the SEC. I legitimately think those two are going to be like the AFC and the NFC. Of college football, because they have 18 teams each now. That's literally the size of the NFL. That is the NFL.
I agree with people. I'm saying is like it's ruining it for me. I'm caring less about it. Like it's with all the portal transfer portal stuff, and these guys are just moving all over the place. It doesn't make you be as locked in as your allegiance to your team. When you're just basically, you know, hiring and firing players, you know, on an annual basis.
I actually want to talk about something specifically.
You got to love that transfer portal because we got Alabama center who couldn't even hike the ball in their playoff game. Sign him up.
I want to talk about something along those lines specifically. I actually, because of that, and you're right, I hate that. I hate what's happening to college football. I also hate seeing everyone mock Arch Manning for deciding not to leave Texas
oh, right.
just because Quinn Ewers is coming back. Why is that a bad thing? Why
right.
why are you saying, oh, he's going to really sit behind him for another year? Why would you do that? Maybe because that's how it's always worked. That's how
right.
a lot of the best quarterbacks that have ever played
right.
didn't play their freshman year, didn't play their sophomore year. They played later. I mean, Archie Manning was interviewed about this, and he said, I think he should stay. I think he should sit. This is a good situation for him. That's exactly what Peyton Manning got thrown into games a little early, but he didn't do well. And Eli Manning in college did exactly what Arch Manning is doing right now. He sat for 2 years and did not play till his junior year. But he believes that he is better for it. Right. I don't know why this is a problem.
If you trust the head coach and your quarterback coach and think they're good at developing a quarterback, then there's not a problem. There's a lot of guys that have not played till, say, even midway through their junior year or even just played their senior year, but they put together a great year. They went out there and they just shined. And they had got high draft pick and had good NFL careers. I mean, that's not unusual at all. Most people do not play 3 and 4 years of quarterback in college.
It would actually be nice to see Arch Manning sit, do really well, have a little bit of patience, and maybe influence some other people to make the same decision. Stay at your school. The question is, I wouldn't leave because somebody was sitting in front of me. I would maybe leave if I didn't end up liking the coaches that I had. But if you feel like you're truly being developed and you're truly progressing while you're there and while you're sitting, then that's not a reason to leave just because you're not starting.
This transfer portal means that Alabama needs to hire a coach really fast.
Yeah, or they're going to lose. Yeah, because the longer they don't make a decision, the longer people are going to be hesitant to go there. Right. Or to enter the transfer portal. Yeah.
They get 12, 15, 17 five-star recruits every year. When there are college programs that have never had a five-star recruit.
Yeah.
And if you don't get those guys, I mean, if you don't have a coach like a Nick Saban, then, you're not going to.
A lot of Alabama fans were saying they think that the way to have no drop-off in recruiting is to right now hire Urban Meyer.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
that's crazy.
I saw Kyle Young is this guy I know. He played Michigan at football. He played football at Michigan, and he posted a picture, and it's Urban Meyer running out of the tunnel, and it says something about Urban Meyer hears that Nick Saban has retired from Alabama.
Yeah. His heart condition is healed.
I thought and I didn't post it, but it's like I agree with Kyle, a Michigan guy. I don't like Urban Meyer. One, he's a crappy person, and two, he doesn't have a clue what to do with a quarterback. So I hope that I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't ever get back into coaching ever again. He almost destroyed Lawrence. What's his first name?
Trevor Lawrence.
In 1 year in the NFL.
He's still a question mark.
I still think that the NIL thing, the whole paying these guys, is hilarious when you go back to Caleb Williams. He was allowed to do that Dr. Pepper commercial because of that NIL thing. And then it's all this whole thing.
The jinxes.
Yeah, the mocking about the jinxes. And at the end of the year, it looked like, you shouldn't have made that commercial because you sucked.
Oh, yeah.
And Miller Moss came in and threw 5 touchdowns.
I thought it was 6.
I think you rushed for 1. I think you had 5 passing.
Oh, okay. Because, we haven't been on since any of that happened, and that was hilarious.
Yeah. Commercial now, and I just laugh. I'll tell you another one, though, that is like, I don't know why they, like that, it's like, why did, in hindsight, they shouldn't have made that commercial, but there's a 30 for 30 that ESPN puts these things out, and they just did one on Reggie White, and it really bothered me, because it was framed around, and it's called the Minister of Defense, that's what he was called, it was framed around, he had made, he did not support homosexuals, these kinds of different things. He said things at times that he got really criticized for, being homophobic and all these different things. And here's my thing. I don't understand why you're making this, because his statements about where acceptance of this lifestyle would lead has all proven out. I mean, tell me how he was wrong.
You're not allowed to say that, though.
But why? Okay.
You have to deny reality.
Well, that's what they're doing, or they're trying to reframe it, because I look at it and go, tell me where he's wrong. But that's ESPN for you. That one really bothered me, because Reggie White was a wonderful man, He has theology in Christianity developed obviously over the years, where at the end of his life he was studying scripture in the Hebrew. I mean, he wanted to really know what he was talking about. But he was an amazing football player. He was the biggest, baddest, strongest dude on the line, on either line. He just tossed people around. It was crazy.
You know, I think Jackie Slater, when you said he was studying in Hebrew, made me think of this. I met him again.
Oh yeah,
at a golf tournament that I was like, I volunteered at. It was Uncle Bill's something, and he was speaking at the dinner, or something like that, or a guest of honor. And he goes to a Messianic Jewish church.
Hmm.
I was
That's kind of cool. I mean, they have an insight, obviously, way beyond what us Gentile Christians do.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have tunnels at their church?
Yeah.
I just asked Dad last night. I walked in to the room he was in watching TV, and I just went, do you know what the heck is going on with these tunnels? And he's like, no, not really. I can't get any straight story.
I don't know.
It was either a way to avoid COVID lockdowns and be able to move around, anywhere from that to possibly child sexual abuse. I've heard every
organ harvesting.
I've heard all these different theories about what it is. I have no idea what it actually is.
I'm doubting the latter.
Yeah.
No, I do too. But I'm just saying I've heard all of that.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what it's actually about. My favorite thing, though, was the guy who was tweeting. He said, I hear Jews digging tunnels under my apartment. I live on the first floor and there is no basement.
Well, he said he could hear voices.
Yes. Jews and he's voices. Like, and that's what he said first. He said that. And he said, and then he
like
said after that,
Hebrew?
He said after that, I'm not crazy. And then the next day, he tweets again. He's like, I hear Yiddish coming from under the floor. Again, I live on the first floor. I do not have a basement. And then after all this big story breaks, he's on Twitter and he tweets, a lot of you owe me an apology. Because people had just been mocking him relentlessly about hearing Jewish voices under the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And I think his tweets might have actually led to them investigating it.
That is hilarious.
But everyone thought he was nuts.
Yeah.
And he's like, a lot of you owe me an apology.